Let me get my timer out here so I know when to be quiet. I don't think I ever know that. Comes with the job. All right. How many of you guys like the TV shows like CSI, Law and Order, NCIS? What are some other ones? Bones. I've watched a few Bones. Those are good. A lot of those shows where you try to figure out, you know, who did it. Anybody like those kind of shows? Those are good. I enjoy those. I started watching one called Flash Forward. Any Flash Forward fans out there? The basic premise of this show is one day everybody in the world blacks out for 2 minutes and 17 seconds. And during this time, they see their future. Everybody sees the same time. It's like a year, 6 months in advance. You know, what's going to happen on that day, and they see their future. And what happens during this time? Of course, everybody blacks out, so, you know, planes are crashing, cars are wrecking. Millions of people die, and it's just a bad scene. And they're trying to figure out, you know, who caused this, what's going on, you know, all this kind of stuff. It's a real good show. I keep saying I'm going to quit watching it. And I don't like those slow shows like that. But then I watch another show, and they get that hook in you in the end, you know, where you have to watch the next show to see what's going on. And so I guess I'm hooked to it. But sometimes as Christians, we go into what I call CSI mode when bad things happen to us. We go into CSI mode when bad things happen to us. There's three basic types of characters in these shows. Number one, you have the detectives. What do they say in Law and Order? There are two separate entities. The detectives, the one, I don't know, anyway. Anyway, you have the detectives. The people who try to figure out, you know, who caused this bad thing to happen. You have the victims, person that the bad thing happened to. Then you have the perpetrators or the bad guys. And lots of times as Christians, we go into one of these modes when bad things happen to us in our lives. How many of you have your Bibles today? James chapter 1 is where we're going today. I ask that sometimes back in with the teenagers, and like three Bibles go up. Ooh, so glad you guys bring your Bibles to church. The Bible is the most important thing to us in our lives. We should always know where it's at. I can't find one of my Bibles right now. But I got my backup Bible. I have about three Bibles. I rotate. When I lose one, I have another one to go to until I find the next one. When I find it, I lose the other one, so... If anybody sees my Bible laying around, go ahead and bring it to me. That'd be great. James chapter 1. We're going to start in verse 2. It says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." Today I want to talk to you about your attitude during trials and temptations. We all face trials. We all face temptations. Bad things happen to all of us. That's life. It happens. What I want to talk to you about is your attitude during these times. How are you going to act during these times? There's typically three different ways that we react during a trial or a temptation. Going back to the CSI thing, number one, the detective mode. Lots of times we want to figure out, you know, why this happened, who caused it, and we want justice for it. We go in the detective mode. We're trying to figure it all out. You know, why did this happen? Who did it? And I'm going to hurt them. Anybody ever feel like that sometimes? I'm going to hurt them. But we'll go into detective mode. Sometimes we go into victim mode. You know, why does this always happen to me? You know, I've been wronged. You know, what's going on? You know, nothing ever seems to go my way. And we go into victim mode lots of times when bad things happen. The third mode, perpetrator mode. You did it. You know you did it. You don't want anybody else to know you did it, so you lie about it and you blame somebody else for it. Sometimes bad things happen because of things that we do. You know, lots of times we bring bad stuff onto ourselves in our lives. But I want to introduce a fourth mode, a different way that we can react during trials and temptations. All right, now work with me on this. I call it Christmas mode. Christmas mode. Remember when you were a kid and you got that one present that you've been begging for all year long? You know, that one toy that you wanted that would just make your life complete. Your life would be perfect. You wouldn't need anything else the rest of your life if you got this one toy. And you get it. And you jump up and you dance around. You do a few spins. You scream, you holler, you go hug your mom and your dad, and you're excited. Life is wonderful again. This is Christmas mode. Now this might be a little bit over the top for what we're talking about, but you get the point. Remember James 1:2, it says, "My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials and temptations." It's a hard thing to do. Nobody likes going through hard times. But it's going to happen. How are you going to react when you go into these hard times in your life? Let me read this to you in the Message Bible real quick. The same verse of Scripture. It says, "Consider it a sheer gift, friends, when tests and challenges come at you from all sides. You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors. So don't try to get out of it prematurely. Let it do its work so you can become mature and well-developed, not deficient in any way." Count it a sheer gift when hard times come. That's hard to do, isn't it? So kind of what we're going to do today is we're going to ask questions. I was very inquisitive this day, I guess, when I was, writing this up. So I ask questions and I answer them. Anybody ever talk to yourself and answer your own questions? Besides me? Well, there's a select few of us that talk to ourselves. You're not crazy, I promise. It's okay to talk to yourself. Why do we despise trials so much in our lives? Why do we hate it when these trials and temptations come in our life? Because trials and temptations reveal our true character and how strong our relationship with God is. Lots of times in our trials, we see the bad stuff in ourselves. And it's almost like you put the spotlight on our failures and our weak spots in our character. And nobody likes for other people to see your weaknesses. Nobody wants other people to see their weaknesses. And lots of times during our trials and tests, our character and our weaknesses, they're in the spotlight. They show up. But there's a reason that happens. We'll talk about that. Verse 3 said, "You know that under pressure, your faith life is forced into the open and shows its true colors." When we're in those bad times, it's amazing what we find out about ourselves. The things that we find out about where we're weak in our lives. And those are the times that it's happened, when those bad things happen to us. It reveals our shortcomings, our faults, all the bad stuff that we try to hide. But you know what? Sometimes it proves how strong our relationship with God actually is. If you go into a hard time and you're able to count it all joy, if you're able to go into Christmas mode and you fly through this test and trial and, you come out better on the other side. Sometimes our tests and trials, they show exactly how strong our relationship with God is, good and bad. It shows how our relationship with God is. So how in the world can we consider it a sheer gift when a trial and a temptation comes? How can you even do that? Is there a way? Yes. God wouldn't have told us to do it if we couldn't do it. When these times come into our lives, we got to know that God has a plan. These things did not sneak up on God. God knew it was going to happen. And He has a plan. The Bible says that in every temptation, God has provided a way of escape so that we can endure it. Nothing sneaks up on God. God knew this was going to happen to you. God has a plan. He has a way to make your life better because of what's happening to you right now. Satan might have meant it for harm, might have meant it to destroy you, but God has a bigger plan than that. He has a plan to make your life better, to improve your life because of the hard things we go through. Amen? You're being awful quiet today. Oh, this is first service, isn't it? Romans 8:28 says, "And we know that all things work together for good to them that love God and to them who are called according to His purpose." Now, this isn't saying that God causes all things to happen to us. He said that God can take anything that happens to us and turn it into something good. To turn it into something good. No matter what happens in our lives, good or bad, God can and He will make it something good. He can and will make it something good if you allow Him to. It's not automatic. We have to allow Him to do this in our lives. So where do trials and temptations come from? Like I said, lots of questions. Normally I don't do this. It's just kind of strange, but I go with it. Where do trials and temptations come from? Do they come from God? Do they come from the devil? Do they come from other people? Do they come because of ourselves? Okay, let's read some scripture on this. James 1:13. Not having you flip too far today. James 1:13. "Let no one say when he is tempted that I am tempted by God. For God cannot be tempted by evil, nor does He Himself tempt anyone. But each one, when he is tempted, when he is drawn away by his own desires and is enticed, then when his desires has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth to death. Do not be deceived, my brethren." Lots of times when bad things happen to us, when we fall into these temptations, it's not, you know, God tempting us. Number one, God has no evil in Him. He can never be tempted by evil. He will never tempt you with evil. God does not bring sickness on you. He does not kill people. He doesn't do that kind of stuff. If we read John 10:10, Jesus said, "I have come to give you life, and life more abundantly. The thief comes to steal, kill, and destroy." It's very simple. When things are killing, stealing, and destroying your life, it comes from Satan. If it's something that has to do with life, it comes from God. It's plain and simple like that. So never, when you're tempted, when you're tried, think that it's God doing it to you, because it's not. It's not God doing it to you. It is coming from another source. Now, God does allow things to happen in our lives for trials and tests. If you look at Job, if you look at the life of Job, you know, it says in the beginning that, you know, he was an upright man. You know, he was a good man and he had lots of good stuff. And, you know, Satan came to God and basically God allowed Satan into his life. He says, "You can take everything you want from him, but you can't touch him." And so sometimes in life, you know, God does allow things to happen in our lives, but it's never God that does it. Because God has no evil in Him. But sometimes it's our fault that bad things happen. You know, it's Satan's fault. Sometimes, you know, people do bad stuff to us. It's part of life. But a lot of it comes from our own stuff. So what's the purpose of trials and temptations? Why do we have to go through them? Man, I might end early today. I might get to eat lunch early. Anybody go home and eat lunch after first service? Immediately? I don't know. It's like 10:30. Eating lunch early. You have to eat it like a mid-afternoon snack just to make it to dinner. I don't know. What was I talking about? What's the purpose of trials and temptations in our life? Why do we have to go through these things in our lives? Verse 3. Knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, but let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. God wants us to grow. God wants us to grow. Sometimes it takes the hard things to get us out of our rut in order to grow. How many athletes do we have out there? Any athletes? Man, you are like very non-responsive today. I'm telling you. Anybody ever have to work out? I remember in football, I played secondary. I was safety. And part of what we did, you know, we'd go through our whole day of practice. We'd do all the drills and the warm-ups and, you know, run the plays and learn all this stuff. And at the end of the day, you know, you're already tired, you're worn out. I can't remember what the drill was called, but it was for the secondary. You'd line up, coach would say hut, and he'd drop back, and then he'd point the football certain ways. And you had to backpedal and go in certain ways, you know, reading the play. And then he'd throw the ball, then you have to run to a cone. All right, then once you got to the cone, you had to start running in place. You'd run in place. And he'd blow the whistle, and you have to drop and hit your stomach, jump back up, run in place. And he would do that about 5 times. You're doing up-downs, just hitting your stomach over and over again. At the end of practice, when you're already tired, why does he do that? Why? To make you better. To make you stronger. So that at the end of the game, you'll have the strength. You'll be able to endure to the end. In life, sometimes we have to go through bad stuff to help us endure to the end. God wants us to grow. He wants us to become stronger in our relationship with Him. Sometimes we become stronger by standing up and facing our shortcomings. Facing the things that we struggle with. We have to look them straight in the eye and deal with them. Nobody likes to deal with their shortcomings in life. But if we truly want to grow in our relationship with God, we have to do that. We have to look at our weak points in our life and face them, deal with them, overcome those things in life. You know, we don't like to deal with pain. We don't like, you know, to be hurting in our lives. But there's that old saying, no pain, no gain. Sometimes we have to go through the painful times in order to make ourselves stronger so that we can make it to the end. But we never grow past our character. We never grow beyond what our character is. Our character sets a limit in our lives, and we cannot grow beyond that level. And through these times when we're going through tests and trials and we're going through pain, if we have the right attitude during these times, see them as a growth moment in our life. Not just whine about them. Not try to make it go away. Not try to figure out why it's happening. But if we have the right attitude during these trials and temptations, we're going to raise that level of our character in our lives. And when we raise that level of character in our lives, we can grow. We can become stronger. We can become better Christians. You know, so many times that we're going through life, we don't do this purposely, but we're going through life and we think life's about us. No, we're not here for us. I'm not here for me. God did not put me on this earth and give me the life that I have just for me. He did it so I can make other people's lives better. So I can invest in other people to help other people. Like we're giving towards the Haiti earthquake victims. No, that's one way that we can make other people's lives better. We can invest in other people. And when we're constantly thinking about ourselves, you know, we will never grow. We have no reason to grow. But when you think, you know, I need to help this person out at work. This person's struggling. You know, they're struggling in their marriage. They're struggling, you know, with their kids. Or you know, they're struggling in life. No, maybe I need to grow a little bit so I can help that person out. Life is not about us. The things that we do in life are not for us. But it's so that we can have a bigger impact for the kingdom of God. That we can better other people's lives. So that we can show the love of Christ that God showed, that He showed us. It's a pure gift, that the love of God that He gives us. It's a gift. We need to be giving that gift to other people. I don't need to keep that to myself. But I need to better myself so I can show the love of God to other people so they can experience the same gift. That's what we're here for, guys. That's why we need to grow. That's why we need to keep striving. We need to keep going through the pain and become stronger so we can have a better impact for the kingdom of God. There's a plan, there's a purpose for the things we go through. Trials become opportunities for a growth moment in our lives. Verse 12 says, "Blessed is the man who endures temptation, for when he has been proved, he will receive the crown of life which the Lord has promised to those who love Him." So how does a trial or temptation turn into a growth moment in our lives? How do we get it to turn into a growth moment in our lives? Number one, we have to have the right attitude. We don't need to go into detective mode, find out why this happened, who did it, and I'm going to make them pay. Don't need to go into victim mode. Why does this always happen to me? We don't need to be the perpetrator, hopefully, making bad things happen. We need to go into Christmas mode. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Get excited knowing that God is about to do something amazing in your life. See it as an opportunity, not as something negative. See it as an opportunity. So number one, have the right attitude. Number two, ask God for wisdom. James 1:5, it says, "If anyone lacks wisdom, let him ask God who gives all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him." That's the verse right after. It talks about counting it all joy when you fall into various trials. That the testing of your faith produces patience. Let patience have its perfect work. It goes through that. Then the next one says, "If any man lacks wisdom, let him ask." When we're going through these tough times in our lives, ask for God's wisdom. Say, "God, how can I turn this into an opportunity for growth in my life? How can I turn this into something good in my life?" Because that's what God wants to do. Ask God's wisdom of how to make it through this time. How are we going to make it through? What can I do to improve life? 1 Corinthians 10:13, I quoted this a while ago. It says, "But no temptation has overtaken you except for what is common to man. But God is faithful. He will never allow you to be tempted beyond what you are able. But with temptation, He will also make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it." God will show you how to make it through the tough times. Not just to make it through, but to make it through better than what you were before. Ask God for wisdom. "God, how is this going to improve my life? What can I do in order to make it through better?" So how does a trial or temptation turn into a growth moment? One, have the right attitude. Number two, ask God for wisdom. Number three, it pushes us to depend on God. Lots of times in life we get a God complex, thinking that we can control everything in our lives. I'm guilty of this myself, that there's certain things in my life that I can control and the rest I give to God. It doesn't work that way. You got to give it all to God. Let God be in control of it all. When we're in those trials and temptations, it pushes us to depend on Him for us to make it through. It pushes us to depend on Him. Verse 6 through 8 says, "But let him ask in faith, without doubting. For he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all of his ways." When we ask for wisdom, when we ask God to help us out, and we give everything over to Him, it makes us depend on Him. saying, God, my life is in your hands. We should do this every day when we wake up. Say, God, my life is in your hands today. I put everything, all of my worries, all of my cares, all of the good things in life, I give it to you. Do what you want in my life. Do what you want in my life. When we begin to pray that, you'll begin to see opportunities open in your life to where you can minister to other people around you, to where you can invest and make other people's lives better. It'll open up doors to where you can love people. There are some people that you work with that you despise. You don't like them. You'd rather go, you know, go get hit by a car before you go, you know, deal with this person. Y'all know what I'm talking about. Don't look at me like that. You know what I'm talking about. God can open doors to where you can begin to love that person. Begin to invest in their lives. And you'll begin to see those relationships change. Because the number one thing that people desire is love and acceptance. There are some people that act the way they do because people have rejected them their whole lives. That they've been rejected. They've been called names their whole lives. And in that process, they turn their back on God saying, you know, if God is love, then there is no God because there is no love in this world. You know, be that person to show the love to those people. It pushes us to depend on God. Lastly, we got to allow God to do the work in our lives. You know, lots of times we'll pray to God, you know, God, do something about this, and then we don't allow Him to do anything because we want to take that control back in our lives. When you give that control over to God, you gotta let Him keep it. You gotta let Him keep it. Because if you take it back, He can do nothing for you. Guys, our lives need to be complete trust in God. When you told God, I want you to be my Lord, I want you to be my Savior, you're saying, I want you to be in complete control of my life. Have your way in my life. And then immediately we take it back. It's just the way we are. When we truly learn to depend on God, to trust God, put everything into His court to where He takes care of life, our lives will be so much better. We'll go so much further than what we could ever do ourselves. He'll push us so much further. We'll grow so much more. We'll have more influence. You'll see people in your life begin to change because of what God's doing in your life. See, God called us to be different. We're not supposed to be like everybody else. When people look at you, do they see something different in your life? Because let me tell you something. When you love like God loves, something's going to be sticking out. Something's going to be showing. Somebody's going to notice when you allow God to be in complete control of your life. People will notice. People will wonder. And it gives you opportunity to invest, to influence, to expand the kingdom of God. See, when we go through bad times in our lives, God always has something awesome He wants to do in your life. I'm not saying that God caused it to happen, because He doesn't. But you know what? He knew it was going to happen. And He already made a plan to make your life better because of it. We need to trust in God when bad stuff happens. Because we can go into victim mode and we come out the other end a whole lot worse off than what we were. But when we truly trust in God, when bad things happen, we put our trust in Him, God does something amazing in our lives. When we give God complete control, He can come in and do amazing things with our broken lives. Let's pray. Father, we thank You and we love You so much. God, I just pray that You just help us to just trust in You completely. God, help us to give our lives completely over to You. God, not only just in the bad times when bad things are happening to us to depend on You, but God, when everything's going right, when everything's going good, Lord, help us to trust in You completely. God, help us to see the bad times in our lives as opportunities for growth. God, that You want to go in and change something to improve our lives so that we can have a bigger impact on the kingdom of God. Lord, I just pray that You just put Christmas mode at the top of our list. God, that's the first thing that pops in our mind when bad stuff happens. Hey, I need to count it all joy. I need to give this over to You and wait for You to do something amazing with what's going on. Father, I just pray for all those right now that are in the middle of the trial, in the middle of the temptation. God, I just pray that You're just strengthening them right now. God, that You're just building them up. God, just infuse them with joy, with hope. God, with happiness, with grace and mercy for those people that might have caused this to them. God, that love would just be overflowing in their hearts right now. God, and that You just began to heal. You began to do an amazing work on the inside of them so that they can grow and become better. So they become better witnesses for You. Father, we just thank You and love You for all Your grace and Your mercy. God, that You never give up on us. No matter how many times we mess it up, God, You're always right there to pick us up, dust us off, and get us going again. Father, we just thank You and we love You for everything. In Jesus' name we pray, everyone said, Amen. Amen.